Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we talk about how to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. And now, here's your host, Stephen Libman, managing partner of Integrity Holdings Group.
Welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. We have David in the studio with us today. Thanks, man. Appreciate you jumping on the call and sharing some of your experiences and why you see a need to get free from Wall Street. So thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah, anytime, Stephen. I appreciate you. Let me come on, and then we finally made this work. I'm going to just tell your listeners that I got stood up yesterday so he could hang out with the vice president, which I think is virtually, but I'm flattered. So,
well, I appreciate you being flexible, and the vice president probably appreciates it as well. So yeah, we got to do a pretty cool call talking about the
best reason I've ever had to not have a meeting. I mean, it's better than like, oh yeah, my dog's sick. You know, oh yeah.
I sent him a text and I was like, hey man, I have this call with the vice president today. It's so funny. My wife walked in and she goes, the vice president of what? And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, no, the vice president of the United States. Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty cool. He was doing a coronavirus update, just kind of telling people what's been going on. So it was pretty cool to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. And yeah, it's been interesting times right now, right? And we're all kind of locked down, and some of us are working, some of us are not. You were still working, I presume.
So we went from the normal 5-day, you know, I say 9 to 5, but, you know, 9 to whenever I get to go home, work day, to I'm working weird shifts right now, 24 on, 48 off, non-sleeping post kind of a, you know, so I'll work all day tomorrow, then I'll be off till Tuesday, work all day Tuesday, off till Friday. Which sounds great. At first I was like, yeah, I get 2 days off. Like I'm only working 10 days a month. This is great. Until like I realized that
24 hours
I'm working 10 days a month. And then I'm a zombie for 10 days a month. And then I'm somewhat productive for the other 10. So it's still okay, but it's been a little harder to adjust to than I thought it would be. So,
you know, it's really interesting to me. So for the listeners, just let them know what you do so that they can.
Oh yeah. I'm a active duty Marine, have been for 11 and a half years. So I'm in the logistics realm right now. I'm a movement coordinator guy. So.
Cool. Well, as always, thank you for your service. We appreciate it. So it's always interesting to me because you always read these government studies about what sleep deprivation does. And then when things get hairy, they put you guys in a place where you don't sleep for days. It's really interesting. They are the ones that know that brain functionality decreases with less sleep. But then it's like, hey, you know what? We have kind of an emergency. Let's keep you up for a day or two at a time. So what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's some weird times. We had some weird things happen in logistics realm that kind of required more adult supervision. So we have a 24-hour shift like clerks all the time anyway. And usually it's just kind of a cell phone call if something comes up, but there was enough something coming up that it was like, hey, we're going to bring you into the office for a few
just
weeks.
Come in.
And so it is what it is.
Yeah.
At least work's been, you know, I can read a book when nothing's going on. So it's been good.
That is good. You can keep working on the side hustle. So yeah, tell us a little bit about that. Obviously, Free From Wall Street, we're talking about alternative investment vehicles and how you can maybe do that with a full-time job and how you're transitioning. You also run a great podcast, From Military to Millionaire. And sure. That's been interesting. So tell us a little bit about kind of Military to Millionaire through, you know, real estate is what you're doing it through, right?
For the most part, yeah. I'm trying to build some more income streams as I go, but that's the main focal point for sure. I dabbled in stocks back in, you know, 2009, 2010, when I had no idea what I was doing and I was just gambling and told myself it was investing because someone told me it was smart. Unfortunately, my dabbling in stocks wasn't maximizing my thrift savings plan 401k contributions, which is what I should have been doing. It was single, you know, oh, I made 10%. Oh, I lost it all, which lost it all and then got tired of it and sold, you know, probably went and bought a tattoo with my stock market money. Maybe alcohol. I don't know. You know, one of those things.
One of the two.
Super great return on investment. And I didn't touch it again and I didn't touch investing again. And then in 2015, someone handed me Rich Dad, Poor Dad. ironically, they were trying to get me into Amway and, you know, multi-level marketing. And I was like, I'm a recruiter. I don't have time for this. And I don't read anyway. And this guy, like, no joke, pulled a CD out of his pocket. And he was like, you drive a lot. Listen to this. Like, okay, well, you called my bluff on reading. So, all right, fine. And I mean, I kid you not, but I wish that I knew what day that CD had been finished or given to me, because I think it was like September, October, maybe even as late as November, but probably not November. And we'll say October. And I read that. And then I read a couple other Rich Dad, Poor Dad books. I downloaded Audible immediately and started just cranking books out. And I read one or two from Bigger Pockets. And on December 28th, I had closed a duplex as a house hack. So it was like maybe 3 month flash to bang from reading that book and realizing my apartment lease is coming up and I could just buy a property. And I mean, it was a whole bunch of things like dominoes that just kind of stacked in place. Like I totaled my Harley. So the cash from that was my down payment. And then it was just, you know, and yeah, it was like, man, I'm paying $550 a month to live in a 2-bed, 1-bath apartment. My mortgage would be $615 to buy a 2-bed, 1-bath duplex. So worst case scenario, I'm out $65 a month to own the whole building if the other side's vacant. Yeah, why not? What can, you know, it can't hurt anything to try. And honestly, that's been one of my better duplex. I think cash flowed $300 a month. So I bought it with an FHA loan. I should have used the VA loan, but I didn't know what I was doing, got talked out of that. I used an FHA loan, so like $4,000 down total. And that thing's cash flowed $300 a month for 4 years now. You know, so almost 100% cash on cash return from not knowing what I was doing. And I was like, man, this is fun.
And that's what you mean by house hack, right? Is to buy something like that and to be able to create cash flow internally and almost live for free and maybe make some extra income.
Yeah. So the idea of the house hack is, you know, you buy, we'll say a duplex, you live in one side, you rent the other side. So the other tenant pays most of your mortgage and then you save more of your income to, if you're smart, reinvest. And so there's a couple of reasons I really like the house hack. One being it's just not as scary. You're buying yourself a house. So like you wanted to do that anyway. You're just buying one with the potential to pay part of your mortgage from someone else, which is great. You get to learn landlording, you get to learn taxes and all that stuff from experience. But by owning the home that you would live in anyway. So it's easy to get over the fear of buying your first home. And then when you move out, which I did not very long after, I get orders to Hawaii and you rent the other side and all of a sudden it's bringing in cash on top of everything. And I don't think I've ever paid a penny after closing on that thing other than like the $65 a month or whatever the little bit over my mortgage was I paid for the first few months. So it's been a good property for sure. And then I kind of grew from there. You know, I mean, I still dump and I advocate for the 401k. I dump a ton of money in there. In fact, I just upped it because I am able to buy a discount right now. And so I'm probably putting 25% of my income straight off the top into my 401k right now, trying to catch up to what I should have been doing. And my main justification for that is my 401k is my cash reserves for real estate right now. So if I got $100,000 in my retirement plan, if something goes absolutely terribly wrong right now, I can pull, well, actually they changed it, but I can pull 50,000 out of it and I just give the money back to myself when I'm done to cover expenses. Well, why not? So anyway,
do you get a match on that too?
Yeah. So I'm putting 20% in, but I'm getting 25%. So they match 5%.
Yeah. So I always talk about this, you know, I know that the name of the podcast makes people think that I'm completely against investing in that market. But look, if you're investing through stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs through a 401k or a TSP, but you're getting a company match, you're getting free money, right? So never, never walk away from free money, right? So even if it's going into a more volatile market where there's no necessarily stable consistency, but you're getting free money, you're still getting free money, right? So definitely look at that as part of your strategy. When I say that we prefer alternative investment vehicles, it's for cash, right?
Yeah.
If it's a tax deferred plan and it's getting matched, even 50 cents on the dollar up to 2 or 3%, it's still free money. So there's always an argument to be made that, you know, COO came from, he was a civilian contractor with the Navy and he had his TSP. He's now since moved it into some of our syndication apartment complexes and storage facilities and things. But that thing grew over a 10-year period of time. The majority of his growth was the match.
Yep.
But that's okay, because if it's a dollar for dollar match, it's still significant growth, even though over the 10-year period of time, it maybe grew 3.5% by market growth. It grew by more than double what he was putting into it because of the match. So
absolutely,
you know, certainly people need to take a look at that, and don't, it's not all or nothing, right? The strategy for long-term wealth creation can never be one thing or the other. It's usually a combination of both. We just like to have people not bury their heads in the sand and throw all of their money in the market and pray that when they're 60, they can retire. That's what we're trying to engage people about and make them think in a little bit different of a way. And if you haven't read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it has been brought up on every single episode of our podcast for alternative investments. You got to read this book, because it simply just changes your thinking about how to create the lifestyle that you want through alternative investment. So
exactly.
All right, so you're house hacking. Now you bought some duplexes, or you bought a duplex. Now you're going to move out because you got redeployed. What's kind of been the next iteration? Where are you focused on? How are you finding property? You know, what's the goal?
Yeah, so my wife had a home when we got married, and she actually wasn't planning it as an investor, but she had bought it super down on the dumps. She actually tells people, so someone OD'd in the house, and it's right across the street from her father. And she basically would stand in the front yard when people were showing the house and say, someone OD'd in that house. And anyway, so she got it dirt cheap, and her dad built houses for 30 years. So he helped her renovate it. And so she got it pretty solid deal. So I pulled a HELOC on that home equity line of credit. And then I bought a 10 unit. Not sight unseen. I saw one of the 10 units, I guess, while I was home. Basically, I sent a bunch of letters out to people for duplexes and triplexes. And someone was like, yeah, I'm not selling you my duplex, but I have this. And I was home for Christmas. I was like, yeah, can I come by? He's like, sure. I got one unit vacant. I can show it to you. So I saw one of the one bedroom units in
and he promised you they all looked just like that.
Well, it wasn't a pretty unit, so I wasn't really sure that it mattered. But the numbers on the property were great. Anyway, so I mean, I got through relationship building with local bank and stuff. I got, it was 85% bank finance, 10% seller finance. And I had to bring, it was like 4.9% to the table.
Wow.
So I got this thing for less than 11 grand. It's purchase price was like 212. It's worth I think we just appraised it 270. And I have, I paid off seller finance. I cashed out. I'm at 60 something percent loan to value right now. And I got all my money back, paid off the seller financing, and have like $182,000 in equity, paying off, you know, 10 grand a year or whatever. And it's cash flowed $1,000 a month since I bought it. So another 100% cash on cash ROI. And I've already got all my money, so I've got no money in that deal. A lot of equity or whatever. And it's been good. I mean, I've had some weird situations with that. I've had someone back into the roof of the U-Haul. I had someone die and no one knew he died in a unit till like 3 weeks later. And that cost like 7 grand to clean the property or clean out the unit environmentally and replace all the carpets and everything else that was contaminated. He basically took a year and a half worth of cash flow or worth of his rent payment with him when he passed away, which is, I don't know. I mean, it's really sad, you know, because the guy had no family. So then we had to, like, there's all these weird processes you learn, like storing someone's stuff in a storage unit and for 90 days. Anyway, still cash flowed last year, even after that really weird hit. And so I bought that. Let's see, what else? I moved into a 40 unit mixed use commercial building. I've since offloaded that. Didn't really kind of, not a total wash, but it just wasn't really working out. It was a lease option to purchase, so we didn't execute. Flipped a house just recently, sold, and just closed last week on a 146 unit syndication. And then all of that, you know, while trying to build other income streams as well, on whether virtually through podcasting and coaching, and we have a mastermind group. And I mean, the whole journey has just been like total eye-opening, because you're like, oh my gosh, there are ways to make money through just helping people.
It's incredible. So we had a fix and flip business for about 10 years. And it wasn't until year 5 that we ended up joining a mastermind. And it was through podcasts. We were listening to some podcasts. Somebody had an education company. So we joined kind of the low-level education company. And then we ended up joining the mastermind. completely changed everything. I mean, getting around like-minded people that are talking about real goals, real growth, different ways to house hack and build wealth. You know, what's interesting is, I mean, for so long, I think probably a lot of us took financial advice from our broke friends. And once I stopped doing that and started taking financial advice from people that owned airplanes, my life changed. And, you know, it's clear that you need to get around people that are like-minded, right? Because if you do, they can change your life. If you don't, then you'll stay pretty much where you are. So yeah, it's, I appreciate the fact that you're running a podcast and doing a mastermind and stuff, because it just opens people's eyes. And I'm a living testament to it. It's not that I was dumb. It's just that I was ignorant to what was possible. And even reading books, it was like, okay, so this book opened my eyes to doing this, but how do I implement that? Like, what's the next action step to actually being able to do that? Right? Like, people hear you say you just closed on 146 unit complex and their mind is blown. It's like, I could never do that. But you probably thought that when you started too. I mean, now it just seems obvious. It seems like the easy thing to do. It seems like the right thing to do, because why wouldn't I do this? Right?
Yeah. So, it's crazy how an opportunity just presents itself. And if you're willing to, you know, jump, I mean, I don't know. It's been a wild ride for sure. And you're right. You can read all the books in the world, but sometimes you just don't see what's right in front of your nose. So it's just useful to have someone poke you in the eye and say, "Hey, why aren't you doing this?" Oh,
never thought about that.
That's a great idea. And solve your problem like that, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I love about the mastermind, is you go around the room and you're talking about what everybody's doing. The thing that seems so obvious to you is an aha moment for somebody else, and vice versa. You know, and we're not talking about guys doing, you know, small things. I mean, the mastermind we were in, we were doing 15 to 20 flips a month at the peak of our business. And then people were like, "Well, why would you shut that business down?" Because now I can go buy 250 unit apartment complexes. Like, it's just, you know, it's the growth and the transition, and also what we're looking for. We're looking for more passivity. More than that, I'd say we're looking for more tax-advantaged kind of investment opportunities. I mean, your 146-unit complex, you're going to get some significant depreciation to offset any other income that you have through real estate, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a great book, Tax-Free Wealth by Tom Wheelwright. If you haven't read it, Robert Kiyosaki's personal CPA has written the book. It's another great way to change your mindset. I used to be really afraid of the IRS. I used to be terrified of audits. I used to be concerned about the fact that, you know, I always joke, you know, the IRS says, "Hey, you owe us money." Okay. Do you know how much? Yes, but we're not going to tell you. Okay. So do I just guess? You can. Okay. What happens if I get it wrong? You go to jail. And I always thought that was really funny, but it's true, right? A lot of people look at that way. This book changes the paradigm, and it says, hey, if you understand that the IRS tax code is basically a playbook on how to not pay taxes, and you play by their rules, then you start to understand, like, wow, there's a huge benefit to understanding tax code and getting excited about taxes, to where, I mean, we pay zero federal tax. You know, there's ways to do that. And when you can earn tax-free passive income, that's a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, they incentivize you to build what they want the economy to build. And it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so game changing. And it's funny you say that, as a guy who, I don't know about almost went to jail, but when I was, before I got into real estate, I had, long story short, trusted someone to do my taxes, and said person did my taxes, signed the paperwork, then went back, adjusted the audit before filing, and added $4,000 of college credits to go to a separate bank account. So a couple of you, and mind you, active duty military, so I wouldn't have paid $4,000 for education, because it's paid through tuition assistance for me. And like 3 years later, I get a knock on the door from the IRS that I owe them. It was like $3,000 or $4,000 after interest for 3 years for money that I had never gotten and didn't even know happened. And essentially on the phone, I'm asking the IRS lady, I'm sitting with a CPA, and I'm like, "Hey, so how do I get my money back?" And she can't answer. And I'm like, "Is there any way for me to get my money back outside of gunpoint?" She was like, "No." I'm like, "Awesome. Great. Sweet. Thanks. But you guys need yours, right? She's like, mm-hmm. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is basically gunpoint. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know how to find this guy. So I guess I'm going to get gunpointed. Here's your money. And then I'm going to lose. I mean, it was like almost $4,000. Just wrote a check because I didn't know what I was doing with taxes.
And yeah. Just eat it. So, you know, we pay a lot of money for CPAs and we pay a lot of money for our legal teams because they keep you out of trouble and absolutely, they're worth it. Especially as you get into these bigger syndications.
Yeah.
So very interesting stuff. So you've kind of created this, learning environment now where you're learning how to do some different things, create different streams of income. You're retiring potentially next year. So hopefully, what is the goal in terms of the real estate stuff? Are you going to continue with that? Or, you know, for me, it's always been about how do we replace the income with the real estate passively so that we can create financial freedom. I assume you're kind of talking about the same thing.
Yeah, but the problem is that you realize at some point that real estate, and I don't know if this is just you or just me, I'm sure you probably feel the same way. I've heard it from a lot of my guests. At some point, you realize real estate's just fun. Like there's a hunt, there's a hobby. So even if I've replaced everything, I don't foresee myself stopping the investment game because there is definitely, I mean, where else am I going to get to go play negotiator and salesman and bank and everything else when I'm bored? I mean, it's like playing Monopoly, but you know, on steroids. And so I definitely won't stop. The plan hopefully will be to be, you know, completely and totally free, whether that's, I mean, and that might take some more time. There might be some years of pretending I'm going to college so I can use my GI Bill and live off the cash from that or whatever it takes to finish bootstrapping. But I'm almost replaced income. And the goal is to be able to do what I want, when I want, how I want. So I've got some really interesting ideas for like a super micro level local podcast for like local businesses to kind of solidify my name in the market. And I don't know yet if I want to try to go more syndication focused and try to take out some of the bigger properties in town, or if I want to try to go vertical with the smaller multis and own, you know, property management, real estate agent, lending, and like fix and flip / the Burr method, where basically fix and flip, but then refi and hold. Mm-hmm. Because that's just fun. That game is fun. You're talking to individual homeowners. It's a little bit more, I don't know about more fluid, but it seems less structured. So it's fun in its own way. So I don't know. I haven't fully decided which realm I'm going to dig into completely as far as what will happen locally. On a bigger scale, I'm going to keep growing my platform, keep helping and coaching and doing some speaking and going to conferences and stuff. And that's just fun for me. The YouTube channel. I mean, I just enjoy the content side of it. Like I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm like, man, I should go do something today. Ah, but you know what? I could film a video at home. And
it's, yeah. Like, well, and I love to learn too. So like, I like that stuff because I'm always learning. I'm around exactly other people that are teaching me stuff. So yeah. And if we can create some value for some people, I mean, you know, I think it's what we're all trying to do in this space, which is just make people recognize that they don't have to bury their head in the sand and hope as a strategy for retirement. You can actually take control of your financial future. You can actually take some actionable steps to doing these things and creating some wealth. I mean, right now, everything's shut down, right? But my rent was still due on the first, right? I mean, it's the third now, rent was still due, right? Everybody said, well, what if they don't pay?
Then they don't live. So.
I mean, look, the government. Yeah, I mean, the government is allowing for all these different programs to come out. These people are going to pay. As a matter of fact, with this $2 trillion bill, if you make under $35,000 a year, you're getting a raise right now. Yep. So I think people are going to continue to pay their bills because they're human beings and they want a place to live and they don't want to get evicted in 60 days when it all turns back on.
I agree. There's too much working against them if they rent strike.
Yeah.
Too much to lose.
Yeah, I agree. And they don't want to uproot their families and things like that. And I think people...
Where are they going to move to right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's you still have to get a rental referral, right? Hey, why did they move out? Well, they didn't pay through that whole coronavirus thing. So anyway.
Even though they got, you know, $3,400 for their little four-person family.
Yeah, plus state unemployment, plus $700. Federal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. There's a lot of capital and liquidity out there. We are teaching our... tenants right now how to apply for those things. We're sending out emails and kind of giving them the links as to where they can go for assistance.
Smart.
So that they can stay in the housing that we have provided for them. So
I like it.
Anyway, this has been a really good conversation. Tell people where they can find you. Obviously, your education, YouTube. Go ahead and give us all the information so we can hunt you down.
Yeah, the podcast is the Military Millionaire Podcast. And realistically, if you just Google Military Millionaire at this point, you should see a somewhat, I don't know about stoic. I'd like to think of myself as stoic, but some old dude with a mustache floating around, and that's me. And yeah, I've got a YouTube channel, Facebook group, Instagram. It's all From Military to Millionaire or Military Millionaire, but it'll all pop up on Google. And reach out. Be happy to help you out. We basically focus on helping service members and veterans learn how to build wealth through real estate, entrepreneurship, personal finance, you know, whatever. I would like to say before we exit that I have been gambling in the stock market this past 2 weeks. So I can't completely say that I'm free from Wall Street, but I've literally like a couple commission checks that I didn't know was coming in. I'm like, ooh, that's on sale. Ooh, that's on sale. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. They're 75% off. I figure if I lose the money I didn't know was coming in. So, but I love that when people panic or say like a CEO smokes a blunt on the Joe Rogan podcast, my stock doesn't plummet or my real estate doesn't plummet. And I think we're seeing that right now. The real estate is, my value hasn't changed at all because of people panicking. And I like that.
Yeah. I mean, and regardless of where you sit on the political spectrum, one of the things that I always used to say was if a presidential tweet can tank the stock market, I don't want my retirement tied to it. Now, it's not to say I don't gamble in the stock market too, but both of us are referring it to gambling because it's not a sure thing. Right? We don't know how consistent it will be. If you buy oil, right? Oil spiked today. It went way back up. And I know some people that got it in heavy when it was at the floor. And now it looks like Saudi and Russian talks are coming to a good head. And oil is spiking again. So I know people that are making a lot of money. I also know a lot of guys in the real estate space that shorted the market right before this thing went over the cliff. And they made a ton of money.
Smart.
I'm not saying that you can't make money in the market. I'm saying you can't plan for retirement through the market. There's a difference, right? I mean,
exactly.
I think you can make money a million different ways. So good. I hope those bets are paying off for you and you can turn around and put them into some safe and stable, consistent income creating.
Yeah, I have to go look at the market because oil was one of the things I went pretty heavy in. So,
it's bouncing today, at least the last time I checked.
Perfect.
So, yeah. So, you're buying dinner next time we get
there. The plan was to dump a couple commission checks in there and make sure that I don't put more than $5,000 into the market just because I hope if I get the returns that are possible, then I can turn around and buy a house with it. So the theory is I can be like, you know, how I like make a video, like how I took $3,000 right now, it's at 3,100 invested. So if it, you know, four times I find some little $50,000 house and I say how I made turned $4,000 into a house that pays me $4,000 a year to own it. So
yeah, the opportunity is out there. So awesome. David, thank you so much for being on the show, man. We really appreciate it. And we'll certainly be in touch with you.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you for listening. Like what you hear? Be sure to subscribe and head over to freefromwallstreet.com and sign up for our free guides to help you and your family invest with purpose.